you know, I don't know about anybody else, but it seems like more and more as I walk in this world, I mean, I really have to trust in the Lord. And it's not a joke. It's not funny anymore. Or probably never was, but, you know, and then it's a matter of truly trusting in Him, kind of trusting in Him. And, you know, I've heard a lot of messages about Proverbs 3 and some good pastors, good teachers have said that maybe you're going to be put into a point, a place where He's the only one that you can trust in. That's it. No riches, no family, no friends, Him. And they would say that is the most awesome place to be because then you absolutely, truly trust the Lord every second of every day. And that's a hard thing. It is for me. You know, put all things in the hands of the Lord. What? You know, like human beings. That's hard for human beings to do, I think, at least for me. You know, to trust in our invisible God and to put all things, all your life into His hands. And, of course, we have responsibilities and we can't just sit in our rooms and wait for Him to send a messenger or something. So we have to get up and do what we have to do. But, you know, it's a great thing once you come to the conclusion that you can trust in Him. So, great. So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up a new study and I'm going to put forth some ideas. All right. Some ideas that, you know, I'm just going to put them forth and you guys can take them in and think about them if you would. My study and probably studies coming from heretofore for my a number of lessons to come up is God the Holy Spirit. For some reason that was put in my mind, hey, you should do a study on God the Holy Spirit. All right, so here we go. God the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person. He is not an it. He is not an intangible, unknowable person. He is a third part of our triune God and is equal, if you think about this, equal in strength, equal in wisdom, and equal in true holiness as are the Father and the Son. And if that's not true, well then the scriptures wouldn't be true. And so looking at God the Holy Spirit, He seems to be a part of God that is sometimes in my mind He's always in the wings. You know, He's always one that really performs awesome things for human beings as far as the knowledge of God on this planet. But He always seems really subtle in it, if I can use that word. Let's turn to 1 John 5. 1 John 5, and you know, the way our Bibles are so screwed up, it's on page 1876 of your New Testament. Our New Testament is all screwed up as far as order is concerned. How they got this order, I'll never know. And so, we're going to read, "Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves Him that begat loves Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." I read that, but that's okay. "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, that is our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Hallelujah. "That is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth." Now, we're gonna look into Appendix 9 today a little bit about this word Spirit, because let's keep on going. because the Spirit is truth. Well, is this the Holy Spirit? And so I'm going to say, yes, it is. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And he's bearing witness that Jesus is the Christ. And it goes on to say, for there are three that bear record in the heavens, the Father, the Word, which is a Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And so that's definite proof that the Holy Spirit is equal to the other members of our triune God. Equal in power, equal in strength, equal in holiness, and equal in wisdom. Let's turn to Genesis 1. Okay, so now we're going to get what I think is into some interesting dealings. Well, we don't care what you think, Mike. That's all right. Okay, can you hear me now? Yes, okay. All right, great. Hey, thanks, Ron. I don't know what happened if I pushed the button. I tried calling. Okay, sorry. Hey, thanks, guys.
I'm sorry.
You know, I'm always, there's always some, there's always some problem with me and electronics, but you are, okay, so, hey, thanks, Ron. Thanks, you guys. Okay, so, did you guys hear what I said in the first 5 or 10 minutes? Did anybody? Okay, yes. Yes. Yes, yes. Okay, great. So then I can carry on. And I'm really sorry. I don't know. Okay. All right. Just about. Okay. Okay. So what we're doing now is we're into Genesis 1, and we're talking about the Spirit of God moving over the face of the earth. Okay. Then the question was, who is the Spirit, or what is the Spirit, right? And is the Spirit of God in Genesis 1-2 the same as the Holy Spirit? Are they one and the same? All right, so some might know. Well, hey, there's thanks for us. So there are some people that say, wait a minute, there's different spirits talked about in the Word that has to do with God. So let's turn to Appendix 9, all right? That's on page 13 in the back of your companion Bible. Okay. So I'll give you a minute to turn there, because you know, sometimes finding these places, I got them marked off, so I'm kind of cheating. So, but go back to Appendix 9. Hopefully you have it. Okay, and then we're going to talk about things. We're going to talk about things. Okay, and so what I'm doing is I'm putting forth my thoughts on what we're going to talk about. All right, and then you can, you know, you can choose for yourself. Great. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, spirit. Okay. So Tony's got Ruach, which is a spirit in man. But let's look at back on Appendix 9, numbers 3 and 4 on the left side. It says God, and then it says the Holy Spirit, number 2, and then it says the invisible divine power manifesting itself, and it puts Genesis 1-2 under that, and then dropping down, it says invisible, power from on high, manifesting itself as divine power in giving spiritual gifts. Did everybody read that? Can everybody see that? Okay. Can anybody see that?
I can.
You just, somebody's got to punch a Y. Okay. Yes. Hey, thanks a lot. You know, because I don't know if you guys got this appendix or not. Okay, so apparently, according to these notes, Genesis 1-2 has to do with an invisible divine power manifesting itself. All right? And then on verse 4, there's a power that's called the power from on high manifesting itself. Okay, so this is really interesting, because if you think about it, and by the way, God the Holy Spirit is God. Think about that. All right, and if you think about this, is this some power from the Father that the Holy Spirit isn't attuned to? Is this divine power of the Son of God, or of the Father and the Son, and not the Holy Spirit? I mean, you know, what is the difference in the divine power manifesting itself and in the divine power bringing spiritual gifts? Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. And I came to a particular conclusion. And so I'll go on to say, this question has been under debate as long as the New Testament has been written. Okay, when we look at the notes of Genesis 1-2, it directs us to Appendix 9, which we saw, and then it directs us to John 3, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, 1-8. So let's turn there. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. And thanks for typing, Tony. I don't know how to do that either, so that's great. You guys know how to do a lot of stuff. I don't know. Thanks for being around. Okay, we have here John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, I think that means teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truthfully, truthfully, that's what verily means, truthfully, truthfully, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Okay, so we have a spirit being spoken of here. Okay, and we go on. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Okay, we have another spirit being spoken of here, I believe, okay? Okay, so then it goes on and says, marvel not, I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but that cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Okay, so what I'm doing is I'm applying this to Genesis 1-2 also, because it talks about the Spirit of God moving across the face of the earth. Right? And so, this is what I'm going to say. In verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That is the Holy Spirit with the article there. In verse 5, it states, Jesus answered, truthfully, truthfully, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What that means is spiritual water. It has to do, its correct rendering is, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the spiritual water, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then verse 6 goes on talking about the Holy Spirit. And then verse 8, we have a spirit here called pneuma, for the wind blows. Well, the wind is pneuma, which in English means breath. The vital principle that animates the body, air in motion. All right, so we have three kinds of spirits here. Okay, and so one is talking about spiritual water, one is talking about the Holy Spirit, and one is talking about, let's just say, scientific natural occurrence of something on earth, I suppose. All right? So you understand that. Okay, so what I'm going to say is this, is that when it comes to creation, which Genesis 1 is talking about, would it be talking about spiritual water? Would it be talking about the pneuma, the wind? Or would it be talking about the Holy Spirit? or would it be talking about some other spirit? Okay? And this is very important, and I'm going to say this, that the Holy Spirit is seen in scriptures as doing things that are part of a beginning. Okay? And we're going to look at an awesome verse containing that. Okay, so we know that God the Holy Spirit provides holy power that allows mere mortal men to perform miraculous realities, right? Raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out demons. The power from the world to come. All right, so when it's like when the disciples were given the powers to do miraculous things, healing, raising the dead, did that come from the Holy Spirit? Or some other kind of spirit, some other kind of power. Where did that come from? Okay? And so, we're going to apply, I'm applying this to Genesis 1, 2, alright? That's what I'm doing. Here again, you could disagree, that's okay. That is alright. And so let's turn to Hebrews 6, 1 through 6. Okay? The power of the world to come. The power of the world to come. What is that? What is the power of the world to come? Well, I think in one sense, we understand the power of the Word to come through the indwelling Holy Spirit. In another sense, we don't understand the power of the world to come. I have never raised the dead. I have never healed a leper. I have never cured somebody from cancer or any such thing. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that power is from the world to come. All right, so in this dispensation, we are, I don't know if I'm going to call it ignorant, but we are unaware of manifested three-dimensional power that can do miraculous things on the planet through us, through the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to prove that it's from the power of the world to come that this was given, like unto the disciples. The power of the world to come. Therefore, leaving the principles, Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection and not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. That is an awesome scripture that would take somebody that doesn't know a lot about the scriptures back. What is Paul saying here? We should be leaving the faith toward God of repentance. What's going on here? Of doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Really? And this we will do if God permits, for it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come. And so, what I'm saying is that these folks, some of them, did taste of the powers of the word to come. If they should fall away, to renew them unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to open shame. It's like, what does that mean? Well, somehow in my mind it grips me like this. After Almighty God has given them so many things, including the power to raise the dead and to heal the sick, and then they do not embrace that as God. They make a joke of it. They take it lightly. Well, then I think that God is saying that basically they've had all the reasons to know Christ, and they're not even coming to that, and they're crucifying the Lord again because he was crucified once for sins. I hope that made sense to you. So returning to Genesis 1:2. I'm going to say this. The Spirit of God is this, the power thereof set in motion by God the Holy Spirit, moved upon the face of the waters. Okay, that's how I'm interpreting that. Okay? The power that was given was put in motion by the Holy Spirit as Him being the prime mover, the driving force, or the initiator behind this power. So if we apply the same thing to the spiritual gifts, it seems to be the same, that the spiritual gifts were given to men, and the Holy Spirit empowered them with it. Makes sense to you. So we're going on. The Hebrew word for moved here in Genesis 1:2 is called rakaf, and it means hovering with a gentle, nurturing action, like a bird brooding over its eggs. Okay, so this is the Holy Spirit, I'm saying, is brooding over the face of the earth with nurturing, as a mother bird brooding over her eggs. God, the Holy Spirit, I'm saying, and he's the mover of this power, the divine power, is hovering over the earth that was in the state of without form and void, which is, we know, waste and wild. The Holy Spirit, I'm saying, was a divine participant in the recreation of the earth. God, the Holy Spirit, was a divine participant, in the act of creation. And we go on. The earth was being prepared for being drawn out of the chaotic waters of the deep. We know that. And through this life-giving action, the world became a structure that went from wild and waste into one that is life-sustaining. It indicates the significance in the biblical account of beginnings through the Holy Spirit. Another example being the Holy Spirit in the role of the conception of our Lord. So let's look at this. Okay? Let's look at this, thinking about what went forward already. Luke 1. 26 through 38. The Holy Spirit brooding over the face of the earth, nurturing, with nurturing power. Okay, so we turn to Luke 1, 26 through 28. And, listen to this. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. And somebody in a study pointed out that highly favored is what we are too. Same Greek words in Ephesians 1. Blessed art thou among women, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Well, okay, so let's look at this. The power from the Highest, the power of the Highest. All right? That's one thing. And the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. That seems to be another thing. But God, the Holy Spirit, is going to be the motivator of the power of the highest coming to overshadow Mary. Okay? And it says, therefore also the holy thing shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy So that's good enough there. And so, what's interesting here is the word overshadowed. Overshadowed is episkiazo. Episkiazo. That's the Greek form for overshadowed here. And listen to this. This word form refers to a protective and nurturing presence of God. Have we ever heard that before? The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, enveloping her in what was a divine power to ensure that the innocence and purity of the environment that it surrounded was protected from sin. And then, therefore, the Son of God was able to be born. Episkiazo signifies the immediate presence of God. A shining cloud is what it was, of brilliance, surrounding the womb of Mary, the Holy Spirit exerting creative energy upon the womb of Mary and impregnated. And what's more, it was protective and it was nurturing. And we can turn to Matthew 17, 1 through 5. Matthew 17, 1 through 5. Or no. Yeah, Matthew 17, 1 through 5. Okay, so what I'm saying is that I'm saying that I see the same nurturing power of the Holy Spirit that I believe was upon the face of the earth is the same nurturing spirit in the womb of Mary. And in power, in its substance, in what it is doing, what he is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing. So we look at Matthew 17, and I think 17, 1 through 5, and I think that for some odd reason, I think I ended the study there. So, but there's a lot more things that we're going to talk about as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned. And what a third part of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, how he moves through the scriptures and what he does and what he brings. Okay? So, Matthew 17, 1 through 5. All right? So I'm going to end with this. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up unto a high mountain and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as light, the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, I believe. You know, there's Elijah and there's Elias. There's two prophets with similar names. I believe this was Elijah. Maybe I'm wrong, but I should know that. Moses and Elijah. Elias, okay, I'm looking around here, Elijah, okay, I was right, praise the Lord on that one. So, so it was Moses and Elijah that appeared unto them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou will, let us make thee a tabernacle, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Have we seen this before? A bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud. Interesting. Have we seen this before? which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, said, "Arise and be not afraid." Okay, so we've shared in some instances where God the Holy Spirit was actually the prime mover of the power of God. And this power was seen in at least two places, possibly three, with the Spirit moving over the earth as a shining, brilliant power. And so I'm going to conclude this study with that, and then what? I'm going to say to you that you know, these are my thoughts, and so just take them in. You can look at this and decide for yourselves. But, hey, thanks for listening to me. God bless you all, and, turn your hearts over to the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding. So, for me, that's tough, but I'm learning how to do that. Thank you all. Love you. See you.